Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. When we sing, I pray for a new experience. This means that we already had an experience with God, and we believe that in these days we will have it again anew. We have come in great expectation. And you can believe me that I appreciate it, and with me the brothers at the place and all of us, what it means to travel a long distance to come under the word of God. On the other hand, we know very well that you have put your trust not on us, but on the Lord. And he has never disappointed anyone. No one he lets go out empty. Everyone who came to him was still blessed. He still received for what he prayed for. And the same applies also for these meetings. The thought came to me in the recent days that we only deal with divine realities. Our spiritual eyes see that what God has said as already existent. It is already here. That's how it was with Abraham. That's how it is with all of the seed of Abraham. We don't build on feelings, but on the word of the promise which God has given. And this promise or promises he will fulfill. We sometimes take our words back. We change our mind. God cannot take back. He can never change his mind. All his words are perfect. And therefore, we put our trust fully on him. I've said, Lord, I go totally empty to the meeting. But I know that you have the fullness ready for us. And this fits very good together. If we are empty and he has the fullness, then this can flow. And then we are being blessed and filled. Let us sing hymn 541. Very soon the Lord comes. Hallelujah. But not in lowliness. The kingdom is his. Hallelujah. Throughout all eternity. 541. In the two last stanzas, we have sung, showers of blessing are yours. Give us the time of refreshing. Fulfill thy word now. This is our prayer. And to this goes our trust in these days. Fulfill your word to us now. Not our wishes, not our imaginations. Fulfill thy word for this time. Your promises for the last days, fulfill them among your people. And we have learned it, all own imaginations, to put them aside and to fully trust the Lord. at one place, Brother Branham says, the Pentecostal movement in this last time has reminded us to the beginning. But now God continues with those who believe and trust Him. And we expect in these days that what happened on the day of Pentecost, and even more, and we know that God has given promises which go beyond that, what happened at the beginning. The glory of God at the end will be greater. And we remember the statement which he also made. The Pentecostal movement reminded us on the lips, on the mouth, on the speaking in the various languages. And then he said, now we grew beyond that. Now we are at the eye, at the highest point which can be reached, at that what actually everything joins and directs and rules. The mouth had its time. Many have said many things in many kind of languages under heaven. Now God speaks in His language through the prophetic revelation. The seer, the seers, you know, in the Old Testament, the prophets were called seers. They saw divine visions. They saw events which should take place. And we must get used to it, that we don't make a repetition what already began 1906, and in many other times it was done. We are living now in the age of spiritual maturity without ignoring the other one. But the main emphasis we lay on that what God determined for this time. I emphasize, we may not omit or ignore anything at no cost, but standing still we also don't want. We want step by step, spiritually, we want to walk forward, equipped with the power from on high, with the whole armor of our God. And He will give it to us in these days and until the end. In the last stanza it says, open to the rivers the door, as we now bow before you. Now, when we call to you, showers of blessing, we need. This we all know. Naturally, we rejoice about the rain, although sometimes we are a bit grumpy, getting wet. Actually, we know that the rain is necessary so that we have to eat. And so, we spiritually should be grateful that God has sent showers of blessing and that we have plenty to eat. I would like to read just one verse which is very well known to all of us, which all can recite. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I would like to read before we pray. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us stand up and pray. We all want to pray. We want to pray together. Heavenly Father, with a bowed heart and a humble spirit, we come into your presence under the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb. We are coming to your throne of grace, O Lord, and we ask you, come down to us in this hour, faithful God. Take all obstacles out of the way. Take away all unbelief, every doubt, and little faith. Lord, may today, through your word and through your spirit, living faith come into our hearts. Faith, which moves your arm. Faith, which as a divine reality brings forth results. Faithful Lord, we are here, gathered in your presence, and we thank you for your mighty speaking. You have kept us in your grace. You have revealed your word and your will unto us. Who are we that such a great God comes down to us, speaking with us? Lord, make your word so fresh, so alive, so powerful today, in this hour. Let it become the sword of the Spirit. Lord, may your Spirit rule in our midst, and every other spirit be banned from this room in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Lord, your people are free. It is a year of jubilee, an acceptable year, a year of redemption, of deliverance. We thank you for it. And this year will not end until your coming. Lord, it's not a year of 365 days, but the time of grace, which is now coming to its end. Lord, we remember also all them who could not come, who are not here today. O God, teach us to pray. Teach us to believe. I claim your people, claiming them, and they will come and hear your voice. Lord, glorify thyself, your name, and tune in our hearts to your word, O God, and bless us all from the riches of your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. These are the days on which we were waiting for, and we believe that God will fulfill his word, that he wants to fulfill it. And we should get rid of all our own imaginations, trusting fully the Lord. When at that time he said to his disciples, "Remain in Jerusalem until ye are endued with the power from on high." They didn't have to do anything but that what he has said. And therein is the whole blessing. And with this, the fulfillment of the promise is connected. What he says unto you, this do. This is the key which runs through the whole gospel. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And what he says, this happens. When he spat on the ground and made a clay and anointed the eyes of the blind man, the critics could have said all kinds of things. But the Lord said, go and wash thyself in the pool of Siloam, and you will receive your sight. And thus it happened. He went, he did what the Lord told him. If we do what the Lord says unto us, then he takes over the responsibility for that what he said. But if we don't do what he said, then it's our own fault. So, we want to place this scripture over these gatherings. What he says unto you, do it. He said many things, but for these days, which we remember now, he said, wait in Jerusalem until ye are endued with the power from on high. No one knew what and how it will take place. They probably didn't even understand what was promised in these words, but they did what the Lord told them. They came in one accord in prayer together. And there, where we are doing what he says unto us, he will do what he promised unto us. It's as simple as that, and nevertheless, a bit difficult. At that time, they have seen the Lord with their natural eyes. They have heard him, and they could follow his instructions. In the same way, it should be now. He has spoken with us in a very clear way. The word which at that time was addressed to his people is today addressed to us as his people. He would say today what he said then, and at that time he said what he would say today. With him, there is no change, no shift. He remains the same throughout all eternity. And we expect in these days that we come closer to God, that he can bless us more than before, and that we could experience a part of that what happened in the early church. We believe, of course, that right at the end, even greater things will take place. But already now, great things can take place. We want to lay our own imaginations aside. And nevertheless, we want that God comes to His right. That these are gatherings in which we not only hear the Word of God, but the impact of the power of God, which is in His Word, experiencing it. His Word, this we said many times, contains His power. And it doesn't return void. It accomplishes for what it was sent for. We are here today, and I would like it best to not speak at all, but saying, let us pray. But also this must be given to us by God. There must be an urge in the heart that we not only call with our lips, but with our hearts to God. And such people have then the promise, before they call, I will answer. Why? Because God has already seen the longing of the heart before we formed it with our words and brought it over our lips. Our God, of course, knows the hearts, and He wants to baptize with spirit and fire. This is, of course, nothing which would be outside of the possible, but it simply belongs to it. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and where the Spirit of God cannot be, there can also not be the kingdom of God. There it can be sung and spoken of the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is, of course, only there where God can reveal Himself. When He became flesh in Jesus Christ, our Lord, it is written, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But now it is inside of us. We are in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in us. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are in the Word, and the Word is in us. It's always this interdependence which we need to keep pace in our spiritual life. Only in this way we come from the theory to the experience. And I have said it already in the beginning. The thought moves me that with God everything is already a completed reality. Every promise which is written in the Word of God is with Him a fait accompli. It is already fulfilled in His sight, although we still wait for it. With God, everything is already done, but He wants to accomplish it in the believers. Now, we come straight to us. God is reality. His Word is reality. His birth, His life, His suffering, His dying, His burial, His descent into hell, His resurrection, His ascension, everything is divine reality. What is then with you and with me? also we are divine reality. We are sons and daughters of God. We were in Christ, and we are in Christ, and we will be in Him. Paul sets it forth in Romans chapter 6. I am crucified with Christ. I was buried with Him, and with Him I rose unto a new life. At another place we read that we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do we understand this? That our Lord is a reality, this we all believe. But in the same way as He was begotten by the Spirit and born into this world, so we were begotten by the Spirit and were born into that world from which He came from. He became mortal so that we can become immortal. Beloved, this we must grasp by faith. He took our place. It was also reality. All our sin was laid upon Him, a man of sorrow, despised and rejected of men, and His appearance was so scarred that no one wanted to look at Him. That's how He was marked by the sorrow which the sin inflicted on mankind. They didn't even want to look at Him and walked away from Him. But then the tide has turned. He was reality. He was the life. Death, yes, whatever that might be, but it cannot be reality forever. Because everything what had a beginning will also have an end. And death will be no more. Beloved, we must start to distinguish between reality and between lie. Everything what comes from the devil is lie, and he is the liar from the beginning. Everything what comes from God is truth, and we are born of God, and therefore we are connected with the truthfulness of God by His Word and by His Spirit. This is reality. Did we sense it already? I believe partly yes. Just not realized strongly enough. Through unbelief, this clear view time and again was darkened unto us. And I think that God wants to give grace that this clear view for the divine realities is not blurred anymore, but that we come from clarity to clarity and from knowledge to knowledge, being changed into His image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, divine liberty. The first scripture which our Lord read was from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, to preach deliverance to the captives. Beloved, if the Spirit of the Lord God as a divine reality rests upon the church, then to the captives the deliverance must be proclaimed, and they must experience it when they hear the word of God. People must be touched by the divine reality under the preaching of the word. We must also understand that the word of God is reality. And even more, it is also authority, divine authority. It is written, the Lord cast out devils through the word. He spoke and it took place. The devil or the demons will not back off at your or my words, but at the authority of the word of God, they have to submit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is divine reality. And do you know why? Not theory, but divine practice. Jesus Christ has conquered death and hell, has taken away the keys from Satan, and rose on the third day from the dead. And he said, I live, and ye shall live also. Let us from now on believe that we only deal with divine realities. Divine reality is that to all sinners who come to Jesus Christ, believing in Him as their personal Savior, forgiveness of all guilt and sin is promised, and not only that, it was given to them by His grace. The promises were until Jesus Christ, but since Christ, the promises became divine reality, because Christ was God manifested in the shape of a man. Christ is divine reality, and everything what was promised became reality in Him. Firstly, whosoever wants to see God, he must look at the Lord properly. And with him, it will be like it was with Thomas. When he saw the Lord, and when he touched him, he just cried out, my Lord and my God. Divine reality in a shape of a man walking on this earth. Today, you and I, we are sons and daughters of God, divine realities, children of God, by the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And the wonderful is that it's right, that it is true. If it would be only dreams of the future, then I would not stand here today with this certainty. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, if Christ has not risen from the dead, then our preaching is empty and in vain. But because Christ rose from the dead. And this I may add here with God's permission. Therefore, our preaching is full, full of the power of the resurrection. It's not empty words. It's an empty grave. Hallelujah. This we must understand. And if we understood this, then also you and my grave is empty already. For we will be with him at all times. He went to prepare a place for us. Don't forget this. There we are only dealing with realities. The grave in which the crucified was lying is empty, but the word of the cross is full, and it's the power of God to all them who believe it. And beloved, if we succeed in these days by God's help, and he succeeds with us, that we break through this sound barrier and suddenly waking up, understanding who we actually are. After the flesh, many knew the Lord and have said, we know his brothers and his sisters. Is this not the son of the carpenter? After the flesh, we also know each other. But Paul says, from now on, we know nobody anymore after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What happened? He came into the flesh so that he could suffer and die to take away the power of death. The sting of death stung him into the heel, but his foot went down. He crushed the head of the serpent. Since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, this was a pending promise. Since Calvary, this is divine reality. And this we must understand. And then we are helped. From now on, by God's help, we only want to deal with divine realities. And then we look away from us and also away from one another. And we're looking up to the Lord, from whom all our help comes. From that God who created the heaven and the earth, who can raise the dead, who can make the blind seeing and the lame walk. Our God wants to use us as little divine realities. His holy word, putting it into practice. And then we will say, as our Lord did, not I am the one who does these works, but my Father who dwells in me, he does his works. That's how it will be with all of us. Let us assume some of the dead would rise before the resurrection. Then it would have not been one of us who could resurrect a dead person, but the Lord is the Lord over life and death. He said at that time, I am the resurrection and the life. Of the resurrection, already others prophesied. namely that God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. And also Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. These men carried the word of God as a divine reality in their hearts, and there were little divine realities. Do you understand this tonight? The prophets of God were little, such little divine realities. The word burned in their soul. Through the Spirit, it was laid into them. Oh, how they were longing to see the fulfillment of that, of what they prophesied of. And they passed away prior to that. And we are living at the end of the time of grace, in which God restores all that what God lost. And even more He's able to do than we can actually ask. In such a time we are living now, it's a reality that God revealed His word. And it must have happened for a specific purpose. The speaking of God is always in connection with His people. And with it is also a purpose connected. And we believe that God, the people with whom He made a covenant, who thus belong to His new covenant people, that they hear all the words of the covenant, believing them with all their hearts. Much of that, what during centuries and thousands of years was prophecy, is today already history, is already reality. We are concerned with divine reality in the kingdom of God amidst His people. We can speak much about that the people of Israel is a reality which cannot be denied. And we are happy about it. But this is not your and not my answer. This is the answer for Israel. Your and my answer must be in connection with the promise of God for the church. And we will not be satisfied on our inside until we will see the last promise fulfilled, which was given to the church. God had promised to send a prophet at the end of days. Is it reality? Absolutely. God promised to call His people out of Babylon. Has this happened? God promised to teach and to restore. And here we are coming now to a point which all of us cannot bypass anymore. For the one is connected with the other one. Everything has so far become already reality. Now it must become a divine reality in the church and through the church. And here our faith is required. How far can we trust our God? How far does our faith reach? Where does it end? Where does it stop? May our faith be anchored in the Word of God, which does not know any standstill, which already foretold one stage after the other one. And we walk with the Lord in perfect faith in the living God, with His Word anchored in our soul, from clarity to clarity, and from knowledge to knowledge. But now we want to see that the Spirit of the Lord God rests upon the church, just as He rested upon the head, so He must rest upon the body. Both belong together and makes up the divine unity. Father, You in me and I in them, that we may be one. The church is a divine reality here on this earth. John, on the Isle of Patmos, saw the Lord as the risen one amidst the seven golden candlesticks. Where were these seven golden candlesticks? Were they in heaven? Where were they? On this earth. Local churches on this earth. And the Lord walked amidst the seven golden candlesticks. Wonderful. Divine reality. Who is the divine reality in the church? You and I? At the first place? No. At the most, at the second. Christ, the Lord, as a divine reality, walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks. And through Him who became the divine reality on the earth, also the Church of God has become a divine reality. And from this we don't deviate anymore. And this we must comprehend by faith for the glory of God, because we were comprehended by Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Let us summarize it. Christ, divine reality, in the shape of a man, walking on this earth. And then He paid the price. For whom? For the church, which makes up His body and which shall continue His ministry. At the latest, after His resurrection, even the last one of His disciples understood that they are dealing with divine reality. Hallelujah. Beloved, if we rose with Christ unto a new life, then we understand that we are dealing with divine reality. As sure His life, His suffering, His dying, His resurrection, everything are and remain divine realities. In the same way, the day of Pentecost is a divine reality. And beloved, we want to prepare and say, faithful God, we want to experience the same what our brothers and sisters experienced at the beginning, together with you now at the end. If we recognized him as the divine reality and understand that Satan, all the power of hell and death, every sickness, every sin, that everything what entailed transgression and the curse, through Calvary it was settled, for the chastisement was on him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Divine reality. We are healed. Not we will be healed, but we are healed. It is a divine reality that our sin is atoned, our guilt is paid for, our transgressions are forgiven, our sicknesses are healed, that Christ, the Son of God, is our Redeemer. This is divine reality. Receive it today by faith as a divine reality. And you will see what happens. As long as people are just doing it with their intellect, nothing will take place. In the moment where the word of the cross becomes the power of God, then divine reality comes into your life. And Christ dwells by faith in our hearts. Thus says the Holy Scripture, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the Scripture says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Sometimes I'm also discouraged. And because of that, I always have to come anew, aggrieved to the Lord, saying, Lord, forgive me that through my little faith and possibly even by unbelief toward you have acted in such a way. Oh, that you could believe, you would see miracles. From God's point of view, everything took place already. God cannot save anyone anymore and cannot heal anyone anymore. When the Lord died on the cross of Calvary, all, whoever will be saved, were saved, and all who ever will be healed, were healed. It is finished. Divine reality through the cross of Calvary, here on this earth, for all who can believe with all their hearts. You, of course, don't believe a man. You, of course, believe God. And I think, if one casts doubt on what another man says, then one aggrieves him very much. A person whom you don't believe in what he is saying, whom you can't quite believe what he's reporting, is very sad. Yes, it hurts him, because you don't believe what he says. Beloved, did we ever think about this? How we hurt our God? Because we not always believed what he has said. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And therein was the blessing. For the first time tried out at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And then the miracle takes place. Do you know that the Lord didn't pray over the water at all? He has just given the instruction, fill the water pots with water. And then he says, draw out the wine now. The miracle happened in that man who heard his word, who believed it, who did what he said. Under their hands, God did the miracle because they did what the Lord said. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. He said, preach the gospel. We want to do it. He said, heal the sick or lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Let us do it. Why not? He of course said it. He cannot confirm his word unless we carry it out. If he would have said, fill the water pots with water, and the people would have said, one moment, we don't want water, we want wine. Listen, Lord, you probably didn't understand correctly. We don't lack water, we have run out of wine. Don't you worry. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And then, while we do what he says, we will see the divine reality of the miracles before our very eyes. Miracles don't happen because one speaks about it. Miracles don't happen where you want to shake the heavens with a loud prayer. The true miracles of God happen there where we, in the name of the Lord, do that what he commanded us. Because he doesn't confirm us, he confirms his word. And if we do his word, then we watch how he confirms it. And then things will be very easy. The men who poured the water, they had no worries. They just needed to do what the Lord commanded. The Lord did the other. Divine reality. Jesus Christ here on this earth in a shape of a man. Divine reality. Since then, the kingdom of God is in the midst of us. Yes, inside of us. Since then, divine reality shall be continued in the church and through the church. And here God calls us today to believe him, to trust him, and to do what he has said. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and the same forever. And this means, in a clear language, what he did yesterday, this he wants to do today. Oh, what could happen if we all would understand us as little divine realities which were placed into the kingdom of God with a divine responsibility and task as the church of the living God. Then the Lord will start to work. For then we have a task. And with a moment when we are given a divine task, we most certainly can distinguish that everything else does not count anymore at all. We dedicate ourselves to this one great divine responsibility and face the task that has been given unto us. Our Lord, the Son of God, said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Nothing else. The same divine sending and authority, the same kingdom of God, the same word of God. Little divine realities. To use the expression which Brother Branham chose, he said, "Christ is the Anointed One, and we are the Anointed Ones." And only then we can call ourselves Christians, because Christ doesn't mean I'm a Christian. A Christian is someone when he has been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Then he's a Christian. And only then the anointing can teach us of all things. And that's how John has written. Ye don't need that somebody comes to you and teaches you. This happens again and again today. People are coming and they want to teach. And they always know a lot more than those whom they want to teach. All this is unscriptural. You don't need that somebody comes to teach you. You have received the anointing. And as the anointing teaches you, so it is right before God. And so we are all equally taught by God. Divine reality must begin, namely now, this evening, not tomorrow, today. We must recognize our stand in which God has placed us. We are in this world, yes, but in this world, God has His church. He has His kingdom. And I tell you openly, the only task which my life has and makes up the content of my life is the matter of the kingdom of God. Everything else is noted on the right and left, but the center is the kingdom of God. Who wants to experience that the church becomes a divine reality? That the sons and daughters of God are manifested. That God could entrust unto us more than until now. And that we recognize that everything what happened with Christ happened because of us, so that we through Him should become children of God. And if we are children, then we are also heirs. Everything what happens now will be a divine reality and a firm part of the church of the living God. For it is a word church, and the church does according to the word of God. And God confirmed His word at the beginning by signs and wonders following. Shouldn't He do it at the end? Shouldn't we pray at the end as they did at the beginning? Lord, stretch forth thine hand. Let signs and wonders happen by the name of thy servant Jesus. Stretch forth thine hand to heal, and so forth. God wants that we believe scripturally, thinking scripturally, speaking scripturally, praying scripturally, acting scripturally. All this God wants. And when it comes to it, that also our conversations remain in the limits of the Word of God, and our thinking can be taken captive under the obedience of His will and of His Word, then the Church can arise. Nobody wants something of his own anymore. Everyone wants to be led by the Spirit, being driven by the Spirit to do what God wants to have done. May the Lord give us grace that we now begin to see the divine realities in the Church. Christ, divine reality. His birth, life, suffering, dying, His resurrection, ascension. He sits at the right hand of the majesty of God. Everything, divine reality. Death conquered, divine reality. Jesus, the proof, rising from the dead on the third day. But did it all happen for Him or for you and for me? He has done it for your and for my sake. He, the only divine reality, the Word made flesh, walked on this earth to redeem people, to reveal Himself to them and to make divine realities of them. And I say today, we are divine reality as the Church of the Living God, as the foundation and pillar of the truth. Hallelujah! Praise and glory be to our God. If we accept this by faith and confess it with our mouths, let me say this clearly here. The faith in your heart is of absolutely no use to you if you don't speak out with your lips what you believe in your heart. Only then does it become your personal testimony. And then the devil can no longer harm you. You can sit here today thinking by yourself, yes, the thing is okay. It is so. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. And you think by yourself, this is divine reality. I tell you, if you don't confess it with a faith in your heart, confessing it with your mouth, you will continue to stand in the fight. But if you confess it with your lips and say, Lord, now I begin to see. Today it became clear to me. This is not a theory anymore. This is divine reality. I thank you for the divine reality in my life. And I believe that you made a divine reality out of me. I am a child of God. And you will see what happens then, without efforts. Not just saying it, but from the urge of the heart, by faith, speaking it out. And you will see something comes loose in you. And you will start to praise the Lord. And then the devil can only attack you from the outside, but on the inside, no more nibbling on you. And time and again, this is terrible, this is terrible. This must stop. We are fully redeemed, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Let me come to the close. Reading the word, which I wanted to read at the beginning. We were asking God for the leading of His Spirit, and He has given it to us. Blessed be His holy name. Ezekiel chapter 16, from verse 4. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None eye pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the lothing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And now it comes. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Is this not a wonderful word? Who took care of us when we were born into this world? But one thing I want to tell you, when the Lord passed by us, addressing us, calling us, when He saw us polluted in our own blood, then He said here, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, you shall live. Do you know when that happened? When the Lord called you and me, when you and I were born again unto a living hope. What did people give for you and my life? To whom did we mean something? For some, a good worker, for the other, something else. But to whom did we mean something for eternity? When the Lord passed by us, seeing you and me lost, hopeless, helpless, polluted in our own blood, being cast out in the open field. This means scattered all over. You can cry, no one hears it. No one can help. Then came I, passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. And I've seen how you fidgeted. No one was there to help you. Then I came to help you. On the day of salvation, He has helped me and you. He has saved me and you. And since then, He has taken care for us, right or not. Sometimes we had the impression that He was not always so nigh to us as we would like to have it. And nevertheless, He was nigh when we called upon Him. I come to the close now. Thou shalt live. I said unto thee, in thy blood stay alive and grow as a flower on the field. And then it continues here. You can read it later on. From verse 8 it says, now when I passed by thee, so one passing by, and then a second passing by. Before, naked and bare, the end of verse 7, and then verse 8. Now, when I again passed by thee, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. Something very wonderful. The Lord passed by us once. He saw us helpless, fidgeting in our own blood. He picked us up, saving us, helping us. And then he comes at a time when we are already grown up. Here, natural examples are being used where maturity sets in. At the time of love, he comes again. Them whom he has borne as infants, whom he then raised, who reached their maturity, then he comes for the second time at the time of love. Hallelujah. Beloved, we can not go here into details. There are some stages which the Lord has with his own. God always loved us. He loved his own out of the world. And when the time of the divine love has come for the church, then comes a very close relationship between bride and bridegroom. You all know what the Lord means with it. He entrusts us with things. He speaks to us like you can't speak to babies and children. He has confidence in us. The time of the divine love is here. What was at Pentecost? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it's written in Romans, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. At the time of love, he comes again. So, a second experience with God. Once the salvation by the faith in Jesus Christ. And then, at the time where the divine love is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we are set in into the church, on the place where we belong. Listen quickly. And I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. You all know the story of Ruth and Boaz. Ruth lay at his feet. He, of course, was the kinsman redeemer. He spread the mantle over her. Here the Lord speaks of the church, of the blood-bought multitude. First, she was lying in the blood, fidgeting, helpless. And then he found her naked. Last church age, Laodicea, I say unto thee that you are naked. And at that time, the Lord passes by again to reveal himself to his people. Beloved, the time is up, but God is not finished with us yet. At the time of the divine love, he reveals himself again. And we recognize that we have fallen away from the first love. And we realize that he is taking us back there. All this are divine realities. You will see it. The second time, he will reveal himself to us as with Joseph, then as with the people of Israel. Oh, we will know him in the power of his resurrection. And he will prove himself mightily in those who can trust him with an undivided heart. Amen.